Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Strange how we move from UFOs to apparitions, but it's not strange, and it's one of the things about UFO research that isn't always covered. Sam, continue your story.
So, the thing is, the paranormal, this is a good point.
Hey, Sam. Yes. Let's go back to where you left off there just before the break. The dog goes up the stairs.
He goes up the stairs. My cousin follows him. They turn, and there's nothing there. So, and he tells me about this. Again, I'm sharing a story with you I think is very interesting. He tells me, he gets downstairs, and he says, they sit down at the table. He says, tell me more about this. And so all of a sudden they break out this old Bible, and he said it has to do with something about this old Bible. When we moved into the house, this was found upstairs. It wasn't found like in a drawer or anything. There was a bunch of shelves in this room above them on the second shelf, on the second floor. And they were clearing out the shelves, making sure they were clean, and they were putting their clothes and everything up there. There was this large chest in the room that they had, for moving. They got to the top, and they noticed this old Bible. They take the old Bible, put it on top of the chest, and they go to bed that night, and all of a sudden they hear this noise. And it was, something was being moved around across the floor. They get upstairs, they open the door, and here's this darn chest moving by itself with the Bible on top of it, moving back and forth, and it stops. Totally freaked them out, of course. The Bible had a lot of very unusual things in there, even names of some relatives, of their own relatives in there. And it was very strange that all this was in there, that things that seemed to fit to their family. It just opened a whole can of worms of unusual activity. One unusual thing was one day they heard the doorbells ringing, and opened the door, and there's ringing doorbells and windows sounding like they're cracking, and very unusual paranormal stuff, and nobody was there in each instance. The worst, I thought, was they had heard what sounded like a child running around a picket fence with a stick making that noise, and they went to the porch, and that enclosed porch with a latticed, wood latticed across the entire inside, and here there was a stick running across in midair, running across the inside, and that totally freaked them out. It was soon thereafter that they got fed up with this, and one night it was the sewing machine, the pedals of an ancient, these old antique sewing machines started taking off. He was waking up in the middle of the night, stopping it, and finally the gentleman yelled at it and told it to stop doing it. Everything stopped. It was quiet. And all of a sudden, a gust of wind comes flying into the room. And only on his side of the bed, lifts up the sheet. His hair was standing up, and all his clothes were rustling. And it was almost perfect for a movie.
I'm seeing a movie in my mind as you're describing this. Oh, wow. That would send chills for sure.
So for some period of time, that was about 1970, I think it was 1971, I had this real interest into the paranormal. And UFOs were really outside the parameter of anything I had an interest at all. So I had an interest in the paranormal. I always had an interest in unusual topics, unusual things, and history. Love history. My uncles were big into telling stories of unusual things around the area, and even family stories. There was an uncle that had supposedly died that would show up and sit at the table and have to explain to him that he was dead. So his apparition would show up. And all these unusual things, and I thought it was just purely a matter of maybe being part Sicilian, that it was, or actually it was Calabrese, side of the family, it was just an Italian thing that they had all these unusual stories. Then I find out there is such a thing as the paranormal. Yeah, there is such things about apparitions and ghosts and all these unusual things. So I took an interest into the whole paranormal realm of all these different things. And it was much later that I would say maybe about 12 years old, or no, I'd say even longer than that, that I took an interest in UFOs. I started investigating UFOs in about the 1980s. There was a sighting out here in Lamont, Illinois, that really took my interest, and that really piqued me into taking a closer look at it. Some police officers had a sighting in Lamont. And then in 1997, there was a sighting in it was in the Orland Park, Palos area, going all the way south towards Joliet, where a cluster of orbs together, much looking like a cluster of grapes, was being seen. And that's how it looked when it landed. It flew over the expressway. It was I-80. And a gentleman who was a pilot had seen it. And it was his interview. I was listening to him to the radio, and I was listening to this interview. And he owned a shop. It was called the Magic Bean, and I believe it was in Tinley. So I went over there, immediately started interviewing him. I went to the county to get the maps of the whole area, bought the maps, the aerial maps, started laying everything out, the path. And it was at that point that I met two field investigators from MUFON. One was the assistant state director, Billy Oney, and Sue Murowski. So we went through the map. And it was at that point he asked me, and he says, why don't you become a member and consider being a field investigator? Now, mind you, that was 1997. So it took me some time to really decide to do it. And it was in 2000, I think, is where I submitted to become a field investigator. But I'd already been doing field work and interviewing people, but not in a disciplined manner. And that's where I started to take a discipline role, was becoming a field investigator. And that was in 2001.
Yeah. Sam, did you go through their whole course then, where you know they have the big black book there that is quite a grueling course, actually, to become a field investigator with MUFON. Did you go through all of that?
Yes. In fact, you know what? The first time I had an old book, that was given to me, and then the gentleman helping me gave me the wrong sheet. So I filled it out, sent it in. Of course, I flunked. And I'm like, that was pretty disheartening, because I know this stuff really well. And then we get everything correct. We have the right sheet. I have the right book. I have everything together. And what I'm going to do is make sure when I take this test, I'm going to write it out on a sheet of paper, then transfer it into the boxes, make sure everything correct. Wrong move. The answer sheet. The wrong move. Because I skipped one of the spots. So here we go again, and I flunked it the second time. I felt so bad. I'm like, what an idiot. And I looked there. I missed one of the things, and I moved up, and I go, I know what I did. I goofed it up. Third time, I just did everything so methodical, and I nailed it. And, you know, I was very happy. Met a lot of interesting people. The cases that I worked on, I worked in, and what I found, it was like baptism by fire. Right off the bat, one of the first things I worked on was the Rockford mass sightings in 1999. And in fact, the mass sightings in Rockford started in 1999 to 2001. Now, some of these mass sightings, I'd have to say, may very well have been hoaxes. So you need to sort out what seems to be legitimate and what does not. Peter Davenport also received volumes of reports. In fact, he's received more reports on those sightings than we did. And he also received some very nice footage, some videotapes. And this was during the period where videotapes were just coming out. And I think you gentlemen remember there was a myriad of different formats and everything from beta to the small, what was it, the 8mm
High eight,
and so many different versions.
Part of that, of course, was film, and part of it was video. But the video, formats, Beta and VHS, really go back to probably the 80s. But you see, I grew up with 3/4-inch tape. We got more to come with Sam, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Sam Maranto joining us this week, and he's talking about his first big investigation. This is Rockford, Illinois, correct? 1999 to 2001?
Yep.
For those who haven't been steeped in this particular case, let's spend some time on the highlights.
Well, here it is. It's a mass sighting. And Gene, as you know, this is my favorite thing, mass sightings, because where do you get your most highly credible degree of perspectives and vantage points? When you have a bunch of people looking at the same thing at the same time from various perspectives and various vantage points. You have a cross-section of a demographic. You have people with various lexicons as far as knowledge. And the other thing is you get people coming out talking about their experience that would normally not show up. You get a higher caliber of witness. The reason why is they'll come out and talk and say, yeah, I saw this, but they won't necessarily make a determination as far as what it was they saw. In other words, they won't jump the fence and say, oh, it was something from another planet or it was a UFO. They'll just give you the details, and that's what you want. You don't want the interpretation. You want the information, and that's what you want to gather from each and every one of these people. The other thing was there was video. For the first time ever, that at least here, we had videotape going on the news, and they're showing it. And what they were seeing was clusters of lights, illuminations, very brilliant. And mind you now, this was 1999, and it happened on New Year's Eve. So the first thing one could think, well, they're sending up Chinese sky lanterns, which, by the way, were not popular at that point. These were not Chinese sky lanterns. They were seen all over the place. It wasn't just Rockford. It was the Quad Cities. In fact, there were some reports in the Isle of Man that day. There were reports all over the place, all over the globe. It wasn't just there. But this mass cluster was 12 illuminations in the sky, divisible. It seemed like all of these events were divisible by three. Each of these sightings were divisible by three. So what I did with some of this footage was able to slow it down and watch it, and you can tell that it seems as though they are in uniform patterns of three, as if you had an isosceles triangle and you had your thumb at the bottom, let's say your index finger and your middle finger out, and you have it moving around. So what's happening is it's always maintaining the same geometric pattern, and the only thing that changes is the perspective of the witness. And now, if you have multiple people from various vantage points seeing it, say, 90 degrees away or directly across, and if you had that footage together simultaneously, you could get a three-dimensional interpretation of what is actually going on. So that was the first mass sighting case. The next case that came into play was, of course, and everybody knows this one, the Southern Illinois case, which happened on January 4th and 5th in Southern Illinois, where the police officers chased that object, and it went through Southern Illinois into Missouri, and there was actually three objects, not just one. There was the large isosceles, more of an equilateral, and a square object looking like a flying house or a large building with the one gentleman, Mr. Knowles, said it looked like it had windows in the back. And it's these panels of illuminations, which not necessarily are lights, but light is, you know, it's self-luminous. And this large box type rectangular thing was flying along, and he's seen it. Another gentleman seen it the next day in Missouri. And a police officer seen the equilateral, I believe is what it was. That was actually seen by a bunch of police officers in Missouri. Multiple police officers from various towns watched it, and there was a recording of them relaying from Dupo, I believe, to Millstap, or vice versa. And we did a calculation. It was moving at about Mach 13, as I recall, from point to point. And this was stationary, then all of a sudden taken off. And a gentleman, one of the police officers, was directly underneath it. You could hear him. He says, talking to the girl at dispatch and saying that, you know, do you see it? And the guy goes and says, yes, it's directly above me, and it's massive. It's huge. So, I mean, these were the things that were going on in the early 2000s in Illinois. But then in 2004, which I refer to as the year of the weird, is where we had everything just go haywire. And that was Tinley Park mass sightings. There were multiple nights, but two in particular that we spent a lot of time doing the investigation and evaluation of the videotapes.
Go to the videotape.
Well, the first one in 2004 was August 21st. August 21st was the day that they had the Air and Water Show downtown, and you may have attended one of those events. And I think they had 2 million-some people attendees. It was huge. And so the Air and Water Show, you have all the military, you know, beautiful Air Force. You had the Blue Angels were out there in F-18s, which are stripped-down F-18s. And so they're a lot lighter. That evening, playing at what is now the Midwest Concert Center, Midwest Bank Concert Center, at that time was called the Tweeter Center, which is right off of I-80. It's a large outdoor theater for concerts. And if you were to look from as high as 35 miles up, you could see it as some sort of monolith. It's huge. And this is in Tinley Park. Playing there that night was none other than Ozzy Osbourne. And, of course, if something strange is going to happen, Ozzy's going to be around, right?
I suppose.
So that or else the Blue Oyster Cult or something. But all of a sudden that evening, someone's around. It was after 10, so it was probably quarter to 11, 10:30. It was such a beautiful evening. Everybody's outside. They're having their picnics, block parties, on and on and on, barbecues. Not a cloud in the sky. They're having the concert. Concert's letting out. People are going onto the expressway. All of a sudden, they're noticing this configuration of these three brilliant red cherry lights in the sky in a configuration of an isosceles triangle or a straight line, depending on how it's rotating, like a column of lights. And all it is purely the perspective of the observer. All of a sudden, animals start barking. First thing, dogs start going crazy, coyotes going nuts. Few people also found out or also noticed that their walkie-talkies, remember the Nextel phones with the walkie-talkie attached to it?
I can tell tech stories about that because Nextel was purchased by Sprint in one of the most ill-thought maneuvers ever because they could never get the thing to properly integrate with their network. Sam, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden with no campaign events on Saturday. The former vice president will be in North Carolina on Sunday. Meanwhile, President Trump with a busy day of campaigning on Saturday, spending part of his day in Wisconsin and Michigan.
So what all of the lawless rioters and flag burners have in common is that they're desperate to try and have a victory. Ask yourself this question. Do you want to vote for the candidate supported by anti-American rioters, which he is? Or do you want to vote for the candidate supported by the heroes of law enforcement in virtually every instance?
The Supreme Court agreed to review a Trump administration effort to exclude illegal aliens from the 2020 census count that is used to decide congressional seats. USA Radio News. Employees of social media companies are encouraged to make political donations, and one nonprofit group has the breakdown. USA Radio Network's Val Dior has the details.
Facebook and Twitter employees have sent more than 90% of political donations to Democrats so far in 2020. That amount includes all federal donations from Facebook and Twitter employees this year based on records available through OpenSecrets.org, a research group that tracks money in politics by the nonprofit Center for Responsive Politics. An analysis from the conservative watchdog group Media Research Center found the employees at both tech giants contributed millions in individual donations and in political action committee or PAC donations.
He was born in the USA, but Bruce Springsteen says if President Trump wins another term in office, he'll be on the next plane to Australia. Springsteen making the comments in an interview with Australia's Daily Telegraph. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we know, Sam, that when strange things are afoot, and not just the Nextel walkie-talkies, but dogs and other animals will react. Let's go on with this case.
So all of a sudden, we're asking these people, and that night, by the way, was a week after our anniversary, and we went up to Halifax, and on the way back, this is August 21st, and we were out of town coming back from Halifax. This was during these hurricane seasons. Again, you're the weird, and why I call it that for many different reasons. One reason is that we had so many climatic, unusual things taking place. 13 major storms, hurricanes, just in the Caribbean. We also had the Sumatran earthquake and tsunami. But there were other things. There were earthquakes in California, disconcerting ones, and other events. Getting back to this August 21st, that evening, Julie woke up and she said, "Did you hear that?" And I'm like, "What the hell is she talking about?" You know, it's been 1 week after we had our 25th anniversary. I think the warranty's up and I don't know what I'm going to do on her. You know, we got a problem here. She's talking about hearing something and it was real strange. She's walking around. I've never seen her act like this in 25 years. So we get up the next morning. I keep the phone off at night because it's too disturbing. If anybody dies, they call 911, whatever. So I turn on the phone. I have so many messages. Peter Davenport's calling me. Dave Mahler's calling me. I'm like, what the heck happened last night? And here we find out a mass sighting took place on the 21st that evening. They're calling me and they're, "Where were you? We're calling in," and blah, blah, blah. So I'm taking on the names of the witnesses, and immediately I started calling to set up some appointments to interview some people. Very first person I met was a single woman with a 2-year-old child, And from her vantage point, which was a second-story apartment, she was looking south, and she noticed these objects coming in from southwest, these very brilliant lights. Actually, she didn't see them, but it was her two-year-old son, who went absolutely ballistic. And he's like, what is this? Little kid's going, Mom, you got to come here. Look, look, look. She gets over there. She's looking outside, and she's seeing these three lights moving across the sky, pretty high in the sky. She calls her uncle in Colorado and asks him if he could see them in the sky and ask him what they are. He says, no, I can't see them. So it has to be substantially lower. It's not in outer space. We had so many calls, so many witnesses. Then all of a sudden, we're starting to get the videotapes. TJ Japkin shows up. He comes over to the condo. The open door comes in. He goes, you're going to love what I got. Meet the guy, sit down, put the videotape in, and sure enough, here is this configuration in the sky, three illuminations moving in a clockwise rotation. I played it back, played forward, played back, played it forward. And he goes, look at, what are these three things? And I look, and I go, I think this is one thing. Watch it. And sure enough, everything moves in directly corresponding to its ratio, moving around, say, an apex. All it is pitching you on rope and roll. That's it. It's moving around. And it's solid. I'm thinking it's solid. So at that point, I'm thinking there's a probability that it's not three independent objects, but one. The other unusual aspect of it is absolutely no airplanes in the sky. None. Zilch. Nothing. Now, mind you, this is Tinley Park, just south of Chicago. Rarely do you look up in the sky, maybe for a period of the most 8 minutes, and not see a plane. There was none. Not one plane in the air for a period of 2 hours. This scared the hell out of people simply because they weren't thinking UFOs. They were thinking terrorists. This is only 3 years away from, what, 9/11. So they were frightened, and little kids were saying UFOs, but adults were thinking, no, this could be something really treacherous. So we started collecting the videotapes. People started calling in, started doing a lot of interviews with the newspapers. They were getting calls. And, of course, when they called into such places as the news stations, the weathermen were saying it was, of course, the usual thing is the Aurora Borealis calling the Adler Planetarium. Same scenario. It's the Aurora Borealis, and that was the excuse for Rockford, too. You know, it's a disturbance on the sun affecting the ionosphere, blah, blah, blah. And 90% of the people haven't a clue what he's talking about, so that has to be the explanation. The police, we had police officers talk to us. One gentleman came over. We sat down with him, and, of course, everything has to be confidential. And he said his sergeant was watching this. He was directly underneath it, and there were objects coming in and out of the configuration. Therefore, it must be something solid, and things are coming in and out of it. The size of this, one gentleman, we took a location. We did triangulation from multiple points to do the triangulation and figure out the height of where it was at a specific time. One gentleman is a doctor, is a heart surgeon, and we sat there and I said, now in your mind's eye from point to point, figure out how big it is. And he put his arms up, and I have a photograph of that, and it was approximately 3 feet. And Vic Connor did the calculations and estimated that object could have been as big as 2,000-some feet in length. And it sat there perfectly still and moved silently, no sound whatsoever, across the section, the southern section here of the metropolitan area. It was seen not just here. It was seen in British Columbia. It was seen in the Adriatic. It was seen a few days afterwards, and actually two of them, in Melbourne, Australia, where there's video. So we had this flying about the whole area from Canada to the East Coast to down in Texas and into Melbourne. And it appears there were two of these objects, not just one. Now, mind you, again, that date was August the 21st. The second observation or mass sighting was Halloween night.
Okay, let's just pause for a brief second there before we go on to the next one, because this is really quite fascinating for me. I have not gone into this sighting in this much detail. You're blowing my mind here. We're talking about a sighting now of what sounds to me like two motherships.
I think this is big. These are big. And then
with other ships coming in and out of them.
Oh yes. Yes. And the funny thing is with the large triangles, they're always in accompaniment of other things like the orange orbs, the large orange orbs that you've heard about time and time again, or the cherry red ones, but more so the orange, large orange orbs.
And seen by more than, well, in this case, not just two or three people, but I mean, how many other people do you think were observing same object?
But if you were to say hundreds, that would be such a liberal, very, very liberal estimate. It could have been thousands. But definitely on the Halloween sighting, because you had so many people out in the street. The police were concerned about people stopping in the street. They were stopping.
Okay, so now we're talking about two huge motherships coming into Earth and releasing smaller ships. It sounds like they're on some kind of reconnaissance mission or something. Nighttime sightings, so you can't see it really super clearly, but there are definitely these three marker lights of some kind. And by the way, I'm looking at a picture online right now, and this is a pretty clear picture of these lights. It's not just fuzzy. I mean, we can't tell that there's something in between them in the picture, but this is an amazing sighting.
Before we get on with this sighting, which is very much like the classic cases of years ago, we're talking about motherships and smaller craft emerging from it. We've got Sam, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com.
Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So before Sam continues with his descriptions, Randall, any further comments or questions?
No, that's really good. I just wanted to recap that a little bit because when we get talking about these things, it sounds like, oh, yeah, you know, yawn, yawn, another UFO sighting. But hang on, let's just wait a minute. I mean, if this crap was up to 2,000 feet in length, I mean, okay, the skeptics are going to say it's up in the sky. We don't know for sure. But given all of the number of witnesses, it was big. Even if it wasn't necessarily 2,000 feet, we're still talking about a mothership with other ships coming in and out of it. Two of them that are seen by hundreds of people. That is absolutely amazing.
And what I find so credible about it, Randall, is all the tapes, if you lay them out, and that's what we've done, lay them out, and the photographs, and you can see that, no, this is more than likely a solid object. And speaking with some of the other witnesses who were very close to it, where it hovered, and they were directly underneath, they says, no, it was solid. And what it was doing was portraying the field of view above it as if it was a field of stars, was portraying it beneath it.
Okay, so it had some sort of active camouflage, and we've heard that about a number of other sightings, and that can explain a lot about how these objects are able to seemingly vanish. I know Valet, that gave him cause to think that maybe they were going in and out of another dimension, but I'm thinking not so much. I think we're talking active camouflage here. Okay, so this is a fascinating account just on its own. Let's move on to October 31st, I believe you were saying, around Halloween. There was a recurrence of this.
Yes, what happened was on October 31st, TJ again, who was done some fantastic. He was lucky enough to have 2 days of footage, a few people actually. What we did is we started to get people interested in being proactive. In other words, don't just be an observer. Work in tandem with other people so we could get footage from various, we want various angles, we want different perspectives, vantage points, and we want narration. Explain what you're seeing, explain what's going on, and I'll be doggone if they didn't do it. They were fantastic.
Sam, sorry to interject here.
Oh, no,
but I do have to play the skeptic here a little bit, though. Okay, so if we have three independent lights, we know today that we can do all kinds of amazing things with drones. You can have drone swarms. You can have them moving in exactly what kind of a formation that you want. It could give this sort of an impression of a single object. Well, now, if you know someone says that they saw the object fly over and they could see the stars through it, wouldn't that be just as much reason to think that they're separate objects as that they're one object? Because you can see between the lights and see the stars above it. So how did they know it was a projection and it wasn't actually the stars?
The angle or the edge would blur when it was moving. It didn't look quite right, and there were other illuminations in there that had nothing to do with lights. In other words, what they were seeing is red. When it was directly over them, it wasn't red. It was a multitude of lights. But from a distance, all your eye is seeing, because it's the longer range of the spectrum, is the red. So in other words, it was a configuration of all sorts of lights, of not just lights, I should say illuminations, and that there were other patterns and other illuminations in there. There was also a laser. I remember one photo was a laser type of beam coming out of it from the front. I guess it would be the front. This is also during the time period where police or they were concerned about pilots getting hit with laser beams inside inside the cockpits.
I mean, there's still jokers out there that will shine them at aircraft that they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. The green would be the one, so usually be the for astronomy, because we're big in astronomy out here in our group. But this was red lights too. They were hitting the inside. So I'm not sure if that was anything to do with it, but it was curious. The other thing is at a distance, we had people looking outside. Let's say, for instance, Tinley Park's it's probably the most illuminated area. South of the loop, it has enough lighting. You have I-80 running from east to west. So you have a lot of illumination. This was directly over it, and people looking from further away where you don't have that light pollution could easily see an edge when there was enough illumination. In other words, they felt this was a solid object. Any three points of light in the sky will make a triangle. That was, in fact, the first thing I said when I did Dateline. We did a show for Dateline, a special. So this is something that's automatic. Your brain sees patterns. It's normal. That's what it's supposed to do. And that was my concern when they showed me the footage that here we have three lights in the sky. Someone put flares on balloons. It's just some sort of nonsense. And then all of a sudden I'm playing it back. No, it's maintaining its same. All it's doing, it's a matter of rotation. Pitch, roll, and yaw. So it is staying. There's something holding each of these points in space-time. That alone is unique and interesting. Back to the drones. You can program drones to do something like that. The problem is this is seen not just here, but all around the world. Not just here. They were up there for some length of time, maintaining altitude. A drone can only be up for X period of time, even military drones, and we were pretty well versed on those by that time. And, you know, these weren't military drones. This was something very, very unique. The other thing is we have all these other unusual bits of oddities going on, no air traffic.
That is really a curiosity in and of itself. Did you guys attempt to talk to the air traffic control people to find out if they had picked up anything on the radar and were directing air traffic away from the area?
Yes. In fact, the police did, too, wondering what's going on. And on August 31st, when we had it happen again, and it happened earlier, it was almost like 7 o'clock, I believe, earlier.
You said you did contact air traffic. What did they tell you?
Well, I didn't contact him the first time because I still on the premise that it may have been a hoax. I would have pulled a FOIA if I didn't. And that's what I did. I pulled a FOIA on the October 31st for the Halloween, and my FOIA ended up. apparently, it was faxed to Midway because that's the closest airport where I wanted to get the information from. And apparently, they faxed it from Area 5 out there, and it was submitted on time. You only have 15 days to submit your FOIA for radar data. And when they got it, supposedly, there was nobody there because that person was on maternity leave. And I'm like, this is not the way it works. No.
Right.
So yeah. I called down to Dallas and had a conversation, and the person I spoke to, they said, Sam, you know, if there was anything up there, if there was something, there was a UFO, you're not going to get that information. And I figured as much. The other unusual thing, and I think you're going to appreciate this, the radar data as far as weather data, because we pull weather data too. When I called in for the weather data, they go, this is weird. It just so happened around, I think it was 3:45 to 9 o'clock, I think is what it was. Absolutely no radar data. They go, there's no data. There's nothing. It's gone.
Is it not just convenient?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it's that big, if it's an object that big, you're first of all going to have it squelched out on your aviation radar. You're not going to have it picked up. It's going to squelch out as being a weather pattern. So the weather pattern would pick it up, and it would, what the heck is this? You know, it would show on the weather data. The weather radar. And that was gone.
That's really interesting. And then, of course, still, I mean, at something that large, that size, there's civilian radar, which has the filters, but what about the military?
Before we have those answers, we've got to have the pause that refreshes. That's a bad pun, isn't it? Sam, Gene, Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
And but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.